the relationship between the skull and the spine, the Golgolus and the Shitra, respectively, and to what extent do we assume that the contact of the Nazir with one, or maybe necessarily both, is going to be a source of Tumah to the point where the Nazir is going to be defined as a Nazir Hanitma, who a Nazir became Tameh, and therefore he'll have to be Megaleach, he'll have to shave his head, and the Nazirus will be Nistar, and he'll have to start over again. So we went back and forth five times. The Gemara has not yet reached a resolution about this point, noting that there were certainly deos that were machmir, that was not a question, and we'll continue to encounter deos that are machmir, views that are stringent, but we're trying to establish the majority, the normative view. Okay, so let's pick it up exactly where we left off, with Toshma, three lines from the top of Nun Gimel Amud Aleph.
Nun
Gimel Amud Aleph, it's three lines from the top, Tashma Shammai Omer. Okay, now again, of course, we understand very well that Shammai, in general, was a machmir, and that is certainly going to be relevant here. Tashma Shammai Omer, Etzem Echad Min Shitra, or Min Golgolas. Those are both sources of Tumah as far as the Nazir is concerned. The Gemara says, but what can we really prove from this? Shaini Shammai d'machmir tvei. So Shammai, as we know, was a great machmir, and therefore we can't necessarily assume that this is the normative, dispositive position. So the Gemara says, lifshat mina. So maybe we can infer exactly in the opposite direction. Taima the Shammai d'machmir halerabbanan, and for the rabbis, for the majority position who don't have this chumra, until you have both the Shidra and the Golgolas, ad ika chatzi kavatzamos, right? We said you would need a rova, a quarter from both of them. So the Gemara says, well, that inference may be premature. Dilmad kano pligi rabbanan alei deshamai elo be'etzem echad aval berova atzamos afilu rabbanan modu. We can't be sure. Maybe the rabbis disputed Shammai when it came to just one bone, but if you have an aggregate, a rova, an entire shear of bones, and maybe the rabbis will acknowledge Shammai's position that it could come either from the skull or from the spines. Amr Blazer, Zakenim Harishonim, the early Zakenim, Miksasanayom, Chatzi Kavatamus, Chatzi Logdam Lakol, that you always required a larger shear, half a kav of bones, and half of a log. Of blood to be metame. Rov atzamos revi is dam lo lakol, meaning it's not enough. Miksasan and some of the earlier authorities, hayomim af rov atzamos revi is dam lakol. Okay, so there was a machlokes, no surprise, amongst the chachamim rishonim. Bezd in shalachareim, but then in a later generation, amru chatzi kav atzamos vechatzi lo dam lakol. They were machria in the higher direction that you needed the larger shear for purposes of tumah. If you have bones, you need half a kav, and if you have dam, you need a chatzilog dam. Rova atzamos revias dam, that was going to be a chumra for truma and kachim, which is a little bit of a lower level than kachim, avalola nazir v'osa pesach, but that's not going to be sufficient to be metame somebody to the point where they can't bring their korban pesach, because somebody who's tame cannot, or for a nazir to become tame. So mechti. But we have a general tradition, Ein Hachra Shlishi Shemachras, that when we have two conflicting opinions, you have to settle with one of the opinions. You can't just say, okay, we're going to split the baby. So if there's a machlokas between the Chacham and Rishonim, one of them is saying we need a larger shear, we need half a kav of atzamos and half of a log of dam, and the other is saying we need a lower shear for tama, will be more machmer, only a rova atzamos, a revias adam. So endorse one opinion or the other. Don't tell me that we'll take one opinion for Nazir and another opinion for Truma and Kachim. That's a general position that if you're the Kas of Hashlishi, so to speak, if you're going to be Machria between two opinions, you have to endorse one of the opinions. So the Gemara explains that this was a little bit of an anomalous case. So Amr B'Yakov Bar'idi, B'Pi Hashmua Amru, B'Pi Chagai Zechariah, Umalachi. This wasn't just any tradition, but they had this from the Nevi'im, who were members of the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, so it had an additional authority that we do make this distinction, that we say that as far as Truma and Kachim are concerned, we're going to have a Chumrah, that Robat Samos and Revius Halog of Dam, but as far as Nazir is concerned, we're going to acquire a much higher shear, twice that shear, in fact, of Chatzi Log, as well as Chatzi Kavat Samos. Al Elu HaNazir Migalech. Anytime in the Mishnah, we say Elu, Elu is Le'afuke, to the exclusion of other cases. Al Elu HaNazir Migalech, Al Elu Dereish Le'miyutei Etzem Kisaora, Al Mago'o Ve'al Masau In Al Ahilolo, Al Elu Deseifo Le'miyutei Even Haschuches. So there are two exclusions in the Mishnah. The first exclusion in the Mishnah is if you have a bone which is the size of a barley kernel, etzem kisori, which is generally speaking the shiur which is required. So that is metame b'maga, with direct contact. That is metame b'masa, lifting it up, but it's not metame b'ohel. You need more than that. And in the seifa, when it says al elu nazir migalayach, that's an even sechuchis. Even sechuchis is a very, very esoteric term. It's a reference to an even which is on a mace in the Rishus HaRabim. If a Nazir would sit on that even, he would become Tameh, but not to the point of having to be Migaleach. Okay. V'chatzika v'atzamos, top line of Nun Gimel, Amud Beit. Says the Gemara, chatzika v'atzamos in, rova atzamos lo. Sehechidam, ilay medeis behon atzamos kisaora, tepik lo mishavetzim kisaora. We already have a separate and sufficient basis for Tuma. Namely, that there's etzem kitzora there. So, Ella, what's the issue here? The ikmach ikmuche, kemach is flour. You have bones that are ground down. When it's a shchikas ha'atzamos, they're ground down so much, so you don't still have the form of a bone as large of a sa'ora. But you know, if you would have a scientist come and tell you, or a pathologist come and tell you, what is this material? Let's say it's human remains. These are actually bones from a human being, even though there's no way that you could tell that because they were ground up. And in fact, if you aggregate the volume together, we do in fact have this volume of chatzikav atzamos. So Abram in a mace, Abram in a chai, sheishal in basar karai. So in alay in basar karai, my. So let's say we have an aver, but the flesh has already decomposed. So what's the halacha? Rabbi Yochanan says, if there's no more flesh, in a nazir migaleach aleihem, that's it. The nazir is not going to be migaleach in such a situation. Rish Lakish Amar, the basar is not essential. Nazir migaleach aleihem. Rabbi Yochanan, right? Nazir migaleach aleihem. Daktani bereisha, because it says explicitly in the Mishnah, Eivor min ameis, Eivor min achai, sheyesh aleihem kezayis basar. So it says what it means, and it means what it says in aval ein aleihem lo. Reish Lakish Amar Migaleach. So how does Reish Lakish come off saying, if you don't have the basa, that it's still a source of tumah to the point where the nazir is Migaleach? Midilok Tani B'Seifa, because it doesn't repeat this condition in the end. So Rabbi Yochanan Lachakol Heicha D'Mashu Mikala Lok Tani B'Seifa. Why does it have to reiterate it? You can infer that it's absolutely necessary. So something had to be motivating Reish Lakish here. Something is underneath the surface which is making Reish Lakish say, if it didn't necessarily repeated at the end, then I'm not going to be willing to say that it's absolutely necessary. So what was that? V'ha chatzikav atzamos t'mashma, chatzikav atzamos in rov atzamos lo, uktani b'seifa rov atzamos. Right? In that case, the first part of the Mishnah says you need this larger shear. The next part of the Mishnah says you need the smaller shear. So apparently, the end of the Mishnah establishes, right, by explicitly stating it, this leniency. So the Gemara says we have a special reason for that repetition. That's not going to be the basis of extrapolation. Hasa milav rova atzamos, had it not been for the fact that there was rova atzamos, hava avmina, I would have said, afilo al magov al masolo. Remember we said that rova atzamos is sufficient for tumas maga, direct contact, tumas masa, bearing the weight, but not tumas moa. But had it not said rova atzamos, I would have assumed that even maga and masa were not sources of tuma. Okay. That's why it has to be restated. Ah, but that's not the only case. And then it comes and says at the end of the Mishnah, uktani b'seifa revi'is dam. So again, hasam lafu came in the Rabbi Kiva, dam Rabbi Kiva revi'is dam, haba b'shnei meisim, Mitame ba'ohel. That was to tell me to the exclusion of the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. As you'll recall, we discussed yesterday, Rabbi Akiva had six positions where he said there's Tumah. The rabbis disagreed, and Rabbi Akiva was apparently choser in all of them. He retracted his position in all of them. But you recall yesterday that there was possibly one exception to this, which was the exception of Revi'is Dam, Abba Mishnei Mason. If you have a situation where the blood has mixed, so you have Revi'is Halog of Dam, somewhere around between 3 and 4 fluid ounces of blood that comes from two different dead people. Because the pasuk says, Nafshos Meis, I'll call Nafshos Meis L'Yavo. Remember what Rabbi Shimon said, and then he felt so badly that he sat in the tainus over it. He said, Rabbi Kiva was in Choser his whole life, and if he was Choser after he was dead, I didn't hear about it. And he felt badly for speaking in a cavalier fashion. His teeth turned black. He fasted for all of this. So we had to come to exclude the position of Rabbi Kiva, and it was worth saying that, because usually you say, Halacha ke Rabbi Akiva me chavero. Just by sheer association, I just remember. I don't know why specifically now I thought of it, but I did. So I'll say it. Many, many, many years ago, it's just by sheer association, I'll call Nafshos Meis L'Yavo, that there was a town in Israel called Tekoa. Matter of fact, the Navi Amos is from Tekoa, the Trey Asa. And there were two boys who at the time were in sixth grade, and they didn't go to school. One of them actually, an American family, the name was Kobe Mandel. He and his friend didn't go to school. And they suffered a Misa Mishuna. The terrorists found them and killed them. In a cave. And I saw the cave. I was in Eretz Yisrael learning the next year. And the Misa was so terrible that it took the Rabbanim all night to figure out which parts went with which. The Dam of the Mason was completely mixed with each other. There was no way to separate out everything, because you needed for Kavura, everything has to go into the right kever. Yeah. By sheer association. Okay, so Rabbi Kiva said, Akol Nafshos Meis L'Yavo, if you have Rabbi's, which is from two different Mason. So we had to be Lafuke, that position. So, Dam Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi's, Dam Abba Mishnei Mason, Tam Be'ol. So, Hai Evermina Mason, Echi Dami. So, what is that situation? Evermina Mason. Either is Be'etzim Kisaora. If the bone is intact, as we said before, enough for a kernel of barley, my time of the Rabbi Yochanan. So why is Rabbi Yochanan making? My time of the Reish Lakish, why is he making? Some of the Reish Lakish, the Leis Be'etzim Gitzora, the bone has been ground down. If you look here, Rachman Arabi, there's a Gzeres HaKosav to say that it's Tamei, the Tanya. V'chol asher yigo al p'nei asada b'chal al cherev ovemes. Let's define each phrase. Al pnei asada zehamayo al pnei ames. That's a person who forms an ohel over the mace. If a person is directly over the airspace in which a mace is lying. Number one, bachal el ze emer minachai. That's a limb that was set. That was severed from a living person. V'yesh olahalo saruka of a certain leg. Cherev in the pasuk. Right. The pasuk says al pnei asada bachal el cherev. That's a big chiddush in halacha, that the sword which was used to kill, or a metal object which is mechubar to the mace, has the status of avi avo satoma over mace in the pasuk. Ze'ever hanechalal min hamace. A limb which is severed from a dead body, Rish Lakish is saying, even if the bone is no longer intact. Ove etzem adam, zerova atzamos, that's the shira of atzamos, as we talked about. Ovekaver is a kever sasam. Kever sasam is the following situation. It happened in America. But kever sasam means that there isn't a tefach of airspace between the kever, the mace, and the top of the kever. In that situation, we assume a tefach can create a hefsek, a kind of a chatzitza. But let's say you have a dead body lying on the ground. Or just a very thin layer of dirt over it. So we say the tuma is boka'as ve'ola ad the rakia. It goes up to the sky and it goes down to the tahom. unless there's a chalal tefach. That's what we call a kever hasasim. So the top line of the dalet amnalef damer mar tuma bokas veola bokas v'yoredes ve'ilu gabe negiam rav Yehuda tanya hanogeya be'etzem, if you touch a bone o bechalal or a dead body be'etzem ze'etzem kitzeora, that's a bone which is the size of a barley kernel intact, o bechalal ze'ever hanechalal min hachai, that's a limb which was severed from a living person, ve'en bolalo saruka, insufficiently long, o v'meis ze'ever hanechalal min hameis, not the dead body itself, but a limb from the dead body, o v'kaver Amarish Lakish Zekever Shalifne Hadibur. Kever Lifne Hadibur means a kever of a non Jew. Lifne Hadibur before Matan Torah, when the whole world was B'nai Noach. What's the difference between kever of a Jew and kever of a non Jew? Only a Jew has Tumas Ohel. A non Jew, only if you come into direct contact with. Okay. So, Hayever Mihameis Hechidami. This is the Machlokes Rish Lakish. Id Isbe Etzem Kissa Ora. If the bone is intact, at least sufficiently, so that we can measure out a barley's kernel, a very small amount, I know a nogea be'etzem. So it must be that that's the same as nogea be'etzem. Why would you need a separate gzeras hakasev? Allah, so it must be, says Reish Lakish, delays be'etzem kisaora, that there isn't bone which is still intact, and nonetheless, this aver which is severed from a dead body is still a source of tumah. So what would Rabbi Yochanan respond to that? So I'm the Rabbi Yochanan. La'olam de isbe, it really has an etzem kisaora intact, okay? Or at least the aver has some flesh. V'im inu inyan l'mago, taneu inu l'maso. We have two separate psukim. Why? One to establish tumas maga, direct contact. One to establish tumas maso, bearing the weight. So let's just try to review the basic distinction. What's the most direct form of tuma? Maga. I'm touching a dead body. One level removed from that is I'm supporting its weight. It's not the same as being in direct contact with it, but let's say I have a dead body on the stretcher and I'm lifting the stretcher. So I'm supporting the weight. That's a form of contact which isn't quite as direct as my touching the mace. But nonetheless, I am in physically proximate relationship with this dead body. Tumas Oel is very different. Just have to be in the same room. Okay? And if we're talking about a kever sasum, it's bokas ve'ola ad rakia, and it's yored l'tahom. So Rabbi Yochanan is saying, sometimes you need separate psukim to establish tumas maga, and sometimes you need a separate pasuk to establish tumas masa. They don't always necessarily go hand in hand. Okay. Last part of the Mishnah, and then we'll get to the next Mishnah, and we'll call it for now. So, maza b'shlishu b'shvi. So, we said that the nazir shenitma, of course, has to go through the process like any tamila nefesh. The para aduma ashes are sprinkled on day 3 and day 7. When does he become tahor again? B'shvi kai ad aved harav shemesh shemani Rav Lazar hi. This was the sheet of Rav Lazar that we studied before, very early in the Masechta Dafid Ches, where Rav Lazar says that once he comes to Tzeis HaKochavim of the seventh day, he's tahor like a regular tumas meis becomes tahor. Okay, person who's tamei lameis gets sprinkling on day 3. Sprinkling on day 7, he goes into the mikvah, he waits for Tzeis HaKochavim on day 7, and he's good to go. So Rabbi Lazar says, right, he's like a regular Tamei L'Nefesh. But you remember the Chachamim objected to that, because he said, he's not any Tamei L'Nefesh. He was a Nazir. And what's the halacha by Nazir? Remember, he still has korbanos to bring tomorrow, because he didn't just become Tamei L'Nefesh. He was a Nazir who became Tamei. And what does a Nazir who become Tamei have to do? He has to bring a Korban Asham, Chatas and an Ola. So maybe the Tara should be delayed, the majority position was, until he brings his Korbanos on the 8th day. So which one does our Mishnah like? So Odilma Bishmini Kayumai Chi Yatara Chi Yavi Korbanosa Vumani Rabbanami. So let's try to figure it out. Tashma, come in here. Midiktani Seifa, it says at the end of the Mishnah, Maschel Umona, that he can start counting immediately. Haresha Maya Chiyatar, it must be Achiyavi Karbonosav. It must be like the Shita of the Rabbanan, Amani Rabbanan, he Amri Naziris the Tara, Ad Shemini Lochaila, that the Tara is in abeyance until he brings his korbanos. Because the Mishnah links the process of Tahara with beginning to count again, there's no way he could start counting for a new Nazirus before he brought his korbanos atumah. And can you bring your korbanos at night? Of course not. The Beis HaMikdash isn't open for business at night. The only thing that's going on at night is Hekter Chalav Be'evarim. So if the Mishnah says that he becomes Tahor and he immediately starts counting, what must it be assuming? That he brought his korbanos. That means that the Tara doesn't come until Havas korbanos. Now this, friends, is a very important point. Because here what the Gemara has done is establish a fundamental distinction between anybody becomes Tamei L'Nefesh and a Nazir who becomes Tamei L'Nefesh. A Nazir becomes Tamei L'Nefesh has an additional step, not just in terms of his kapara, the expiation for violating his nazirus, but an extra step in terms of his tahara. His tahara must wait until he's expiated, until he brought the korbanos on the eighth day. So if you're comparing two people who were in exactly the same situation, they became tamei l'nefesh because of the same meis mitzvah, they were walking along, they saw a dead body. One of them is a nazir, one of them isn't. One of them can become tamei, one of them can become tahor on the night following the seventh day. The other, when he brings his korbanos. A nazir hanitma is not the same as any tamei l'nefesh. His tahara has to wait until he's achieved his kapara. That's a very, very critical point. Rabbi Lazar doesn't agree. But we paskin like the Chachamim on that score. Okay? So to review the two major ideas that we saw today, we said that in the end, even though normally when we have an earlier machlokas, a view is going to have to come along and paskin like one of them. We saw an exception to that rule because we had a Kabbalah from Chagai, Zechariah, and Malachi, that when it comes to Truma and Kachim, we'll say that a lower shiur, the Rova Tzamos and the Revias Halog, are sufficient to cause Tuma to the level where I can't have Truma or Kachim. But not that the Nazir is necessarily going to be Megaleach, not in the sense that somebody would be prevented from doing their Karban Pesach. For that, you'll need Chatzi. That was the point that we saw. Then we talked about what happens if the bones are ground down. You have shchikas ha'atzamos. So you don't have an etzem kisaora, which is even intact. You don't have that. So in that situation, we said, are you going to require the rova or the chatzikav? If it's ground down, there's no automatic tumma. Etzem kisaora means you have a bone intact. But if you could aggregate it together so that there's such a volume, the Gemara presented a dispute today whether you need a revius hakav, a rova hakav, you need a quarter of a kav's worth, a certain measurement, or you need double that amount because you could aggregate it together.
Okay, so if it's ground down, it's not necessarily not.
Correct. Then the Gemara said, similarly, let's say you have a severed limb, but the flesh has decomposed. Reish Lakish says it's still a source of tumma. Rabbi Yochanan says it's not a source of tumma. We paskin like Rabbi Yochanan in that machlokas. Okay? So I know that this material is very challenging. It's really a tour de force through the world of Taros, but I think people did really very, very, very nicely with it. And God willing, we'll pick it up there with the Mishnah on Nundalad, the bottom of Nundalad Amud Aleph, tomorrow.
Thank you, Rabbi. Feel better.
Thank you.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Yeah. Two forms of catching tumah.
direct contact and carrying.
And being in the same room.
And being what?
And